an intended audience. Call the noblest to the audience. Fortinbras, Hamlet, Act 5, Scene 2, Line 37. At the end of Hamlet, young Fortinbras issues an order to call the noblest to the audience, cultivating a specific audience for the story Horatio intends to tell. Your instructor may ask you to write for a particular audience, or you may have the opportunity to select your readers. Either way, you should keep your audience in mind as you are writing. Consider what the audience knows and how they will react. Visualizing your audience in a theater, and especially a theater that possesses the characteristics of Shakespeare's stage, will help you identify the characteristics that they possess and the reactions you want to elicit. When you think about the theater, you likely imagine a play in the dark with lighting on the stage. Such lighting helps us follow the action, but distances the audience from events. Shakespeare's theater was different. There was no barrier between the audience and the stage. The use of a thrust stage meant that the audience surrounded the stage on three sides. Standing playgoers, known as groundlings, stood for the entirety of the production, jostled for position, and even leaned on the stage. Because the productions happened during the day, playgoers could see other audience members as clearly as they could see what was happening on the stage. If an audience didn't laugh or clap at the right time, or if they laughed or clapped at the wrong time, it had a big impact on the production. The actors had to compete for the audience's attention, and they did that by improvising, making direct eye contact, and using asides to speak directly to the audience. Even if the stories you write are not produced on stage, you can still make a meaningful connection with your audience by translating the power of physical embodiment in the theater into the words that you select for the page. Obviously, you can't look into your audience's eyes, respond to something they've said, or react when their attention fades, but you can still make that connection by considering how they will react. One way to do this is to have someone else read your story. Instead of asking them to edit it, ask them to document when they laughed, smiled, teared up, and so on. Ask them what they felt interested and when their interest waned. By identifying your audience and seeking feedback, you can adapt your narrative to capture the audience's attention. Consider what terms you might need to define, how much description or explanation the audience will need, and what part of your story will most interest your audience. Use of sensory details. Awake your senses. Brutus, Julius Caesar, Act 3, Scene 2, Lines 16 to 17. The word audience comes from the same root word as auditory, and implies that playgoers primarily engage with a play through sound. Sometimes the word spectators is used to describe the same group of people. Spectators, from the same root word as spectacles, implies visual engagement with a play. Although this chapter primarily uses the word audience, considering both terms highlights the way playgoers, or even readers, engage through multiple senses. Once you've identified your main plot points, decide which parts need the most emphasis, and select a target audience, you are ready to fill in the details. These details are what transforms your narrative from telling to showing. While you may be used to plays or movies with elaborate scenery, Shakespeare did not have this luxury when he wrote or directed his plays. In fact, evidence shows that 16th and 17th century public theater performances used very little scenery and very few stage pieces. Furthermore, because such performances took place outside in the afternoon, the playwright had little control over the weather or lighting. If a scene took place at night under starry skies, Shakespeare had to figure out a way to communicate that to his audience. Characters carried lanterns or candles. And some of the magic of Shakespeare is that he continues to communicate it to us today. Sometimes, when you are writing a narrative, you might feel like you are creating something out of nothing. Imagining Shakespeare's stage might help you with this. On the page, your audience cannot see the characters or hear their speeches. That means that you need to paint the scene with words. The logical organization section of this chapter briefly mentioned the idea of zooming in and out. Zoom in on what you want the reader to notice. This means deciding which events deserve the stage treatment. In other words, if you were staging this scene, what events would happen on the stage? Once you decide on these events, consider what is significant about each moment. Significance can come from a moment's relationship to other events or from symbolic value. Select the details that highlight the significance. Take a moment to recall a scene from a play, a movie, a TV show that particularly resonated with you. Consider all of the details that went into the production of that scene. If the scene was inside a building, what room was it in? What flooring was used? Walls, lighting, furniture? What props were present? What colors were used in the scene? Where were the characters positioned? From where did they enter or leave? What did they look like? How was their hair styled? What were they wearing? Consider the auditory components of the scene. Who spoke? What was their voice like? What did they say? What other sounds did you hear? Now, imagine the same scene without each component. How would it be different? What if, for example, all the sounds were taken away? Or you just had a narrator telling you what the characters did, but there was no movement? By imagining your narrative played out on stage, you can identify details that will show rather than tell your experiences. While your final version will not include every prop, piece of scenery, or physical detail of a character, it should include enough of these for the reader to fill in the rest of the picture. The more essential that object, place, or person is to your story, the more details you need to provide about it. Use the following techniques to incorporate detail. The five senses. Focus on the five senses: sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. If you are writing a narrative about your own experiences, think about what you saw, heard, smelled, tasted, or felt. To practice, set a 5-minute timer and write down everything you sensed during those 5 minutes. Because we experience things through the senses, the best way to show your experience to the reader is by activating their senses. Metaphor. A related way to involve your reader is by incorporating simile or metaphor. What did an object look like, sound like, smell like, taste like, or feel like? For instance, let's say you are describing a squeaking noise. Is it more like the sound created as a basketball player pivots on the court, or the sound created as a teacher drags a sharp piece of chalk down the chalkboard? Or is it something else entirely? What feelings do these sounds evoke in your body? Metaphors use the audience's own memory to help the reader understand an unfamiliar experience. Great writing will help the reader feel the sensation of the response in their body. Thinking about your own reaction will help you develop effective comparisons. Dialogue. Writing dialogue is another way to help drop your reader into your scene. Sometimes students feel intimidated because they can't remember the exact conversation that they had with someone years ago. However, in personal narratives, it is okay to take minor creative liberties to communicate a point. If you remember the gist of the conversation, you can still put it into dialogue. By using the senses, metaphor, and dialogue, you can paint a picture of the characters, scenery, and events to engage your audience at a sensory level. A specific purpose. I have spoke to the purpose. Hermione, The Winter's Tale, Act 1, Scene 2, Line 100. This chapter has asked you to imagine your story as if it were to be produced on the stage. As you continue to do so, make sure to write with a clear purpose in mind. Ask yourself, why am I telling this story? What do I want the reader to get out of my story? Deciding on your purpose might take some work, and while it's tempting to just pick an event and then later add in a purpose, that's not going to create the best narrative. A strong narrative starts with purpose. To explore and identify purpose, consider starting with some journaling work. The following prompts may help you arrive at an idea for your paper and help you understand why it is important to tell that story. What keeps you up at night? What defines you as a person? What do you wish other people knew about you? Are you the same person you were 5 years ago? Why or why not? Sometimes students feel like they don't have a life-changing moment to write about. That's okay. Your story might be more subtle. Some of the best narratives start with small moments that seem insignificant. Focusing on the details around these moments and making them come to life will result in a better narrative than a big moment with little relatability. Conclusion. Following the advice in this chapter will help you write an engaging narrative that accomplishes a specific purpose. Remember, there are different styles of writing, and Composition 1 is a great place to try these out. Reading a variety of narratives as you prepare to write your own will help you identify the required components and find a style that works for you. Discussion questions. Use the following questions to further explore the ideas in this chapter and begin brainstorming for your own narrative. 1. Think of a time you used storytelling, i.e. narrative, in your everyday life to persuade or inform someone. Were you effective in achieving your purpose? Why or why not? 2. Think of a narrative that you have recently read, listened to, or watched. Then answer the following questions. How did it begin? How might switching the order of the narrative switch the outcome or interpretation of the story? Who was the audience for this narrative? How do you know? What was the narrative's purpose? How do you know? What details in the text or story contributed to this purpose? 3. Imagine you are staging an event from your life. Think about the sights, sounds, smells, tastes, and feelings that would help this moment come to life. Make a list of details you could add for each of the 5 senses. About the author. Heidi Cephas holds a PhD in English from the University of North Texas, where she conducted research on the connection between bodies and judgment in Shakespeare's plays. More recently, she has focused on depictions of women's work from Shakespeare to today. In addition to teaching and researching Shakespeare, Dr. Cephas has 13 years of experience teaching composition courses, including 3 at Oklahoma State. Currently, she is employed as a choice and success advisor at a Colorado high school. In her spare time, Dr. Cephas enjoys playing disc golf, running, and reading detective fiction.